Hello, and welcome to the Monday, January 27th edition of Juno Afternoon on KTOO News Juno. We've got a good show. We'll find out about the Silverbow Inn's new wine bar. We'll also get our update about CBJ activities with City Manager Kim Kiefer. We'll get a preview of tonight's concert by the California Guitar Trio. Unfortunately, the Montreal Guitar Trio could not get into Juno like many other people this past weekend. And we'll also find out about the Big Brothers Big Sisters school mentoring program with guest Dirk Miller and Gretchen Durking. All that and more. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. In Canada, a business program for First Nations people is coming to a reserve in southern Alberta. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, a former Canadian Prime Minister is leading the initiative.
Paul Martin and his Martin Aboriginal Educational Initiative is responsible for the program, along with the Blood First Nation and one of Canada's big banks. A similar program was started a couple of years ago in Manitoba. Martin was on hand to announce the program for grades 11 and 12 at the Kainai High School on the Blood Reserve. He says Kainai was chosen partly because it's a progressive school. Martin says the program is about First Nations young people who understand that with the right kind of education, there is nothing that can hold them back.
The Indigenous people of this country have not had a reasonable shot at what this country has to offer. This country of huge wealth, and they were not offered the same opportunities that we were. And as a result, a great injustice was done for far too long.
Martin also says work experience is an important part of the program. A lot can be taught in classrooms, but when you see the principles applied in real life, either through a bank or businesses in the area, you can see that the decisions you make actually have a real application. A spokeswoman for Scotiabank says the Aboriginal population is one of the youngest and fastest growing groups in Canada, but statistics say they have generally lower levels of education within their communities, with only 1 in 3 not completing high school. She says an initiative such as this one could encourage more Aboriginal students to stay in school. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
A museum in Rapid City, South Dakota, has received kudos from a national travel magazine. As Jim Kent reports, the museum was commended for packing a lot of punch into its story about the American bison and the animal's role in Native American culture.
Midwest Living Review listed the Museum of the American Bison as one of the best new places to visit in 2014. Susan Rickey is the museum's director. Ricky says she's pleased with the results of her first year spent offering the history of the magnificent mammal.
We welcomed almost 7,800 visitors this season since we opened our doors in May, and we hope to do more than that. And everybody that leaves here always has a comment, and a lot of that is, "And I didn't know this really happened," or "I didn't know that much about a buffalo." And now, you know, they look at a buffalo differently than they did before they came into the museum.
Susan Rickey says the goal of the museum is to educate the public about the near extinction of the buffalo, as well as its remarkable comeback. The Museum of the American Bison includes vintage photographs, Native American artifacts, interactive videos, and bison-inspired artwork. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
Two Idaho school districts are examining their Indian mascots. The Associated Press reports the move comes after letters were sent to the Lewiston and Nez Perce school districts from the Nez Perce tribe. The Lewiston school district plans to review the history of its Indian mascot, while the Nez Perce school district plans to conduct a public survey. The 2014 State of Indian Nations Address takes place this week. The annual address follows President Obama's State of the Union. The speech by NCAI President Brian Clatesby is expected to lay out priorities for Indian country. Recent issues impacting tribes include health care and budget cuts. The address takes place Thursday in Washington, D.C. In January each year, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people mark Survival Day while the country officially recognizes Australia Day. It marks the landing of British ships there in the 1700s. Indigenous events often remember the impacts of colonialism while acknowledging the survival and culture of Indigenous people. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. National Native News is made possible with support from Guest House Anchorage Inn. Wake up with the sun, on the web at guesthousealaska.com. When you file online for your PFD, every Alaskan can support National Native News. Just use Pick, Click, Give and select KNBA-FM, Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Alaskans who experience developmental disabilities, traumatic brain injuries, and mental health conditions are important members of the state's workforce. From healthcare facilities and nonprofit organizations to retail stores and restaurants, Alaska Mental Health Trust beneficiaries are succeeding in the workplace. The trust encourages Alaska employers to consider ways in which trust beneficiaries and their unique skills can be good for business. Learn more at mhtrust.org.
Hello, we're back. It's Juno Afternoon. It's the Monday edition. I'm your Monday host, Joan Partis. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. And the weather is increasing clouds, highs around 41, light winds. Tonight, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, lows around 34, light winds. Tomorrow, rain likely. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, chance of rain. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy. If you're wondering, Alaska Airlines is getting in and out of Juneau today. Yahoo! So you could expect to leave or see people you haven't seen in a while. Today's the day. So also, today is the day to hear about this new business downtown. The Silverboat Inn, owned by Jill Ramil, has opened a new wine bar, and Jill is here in the studio to talk about it. So hi, Jill.
Hi, Joan. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're always happy to have you here. Jill, tell me, what is a wine bar?
A wine bar is a space to come in and enjoy wine and socialize, learn a little bit about wine, or not. And it's not a rowdy, raucous, hop-in bar. It's a more intimate, it's a much more intimate space.
Okay. Sounds like a very adult-type place to go and have conversation and...
I guess that is true.
Visit.
We haven't had many kids in there, and it's a really pretty small space. And if I'm imagining my kids in there, and they would probably knock over every wine glass. But we can have kids in our whole building. You know, we have a beer, we have a restaurant license, so it enables us to have kids anywhere in the building.
Right. Well, part of your kids are really young, so maybe taking them anywhere would be that kind of event. But if you're talking about a kid, you know, like in elementary school and up, it'd probably be a nice place. Bring a pad, have them doodle.
Yeah, absolutely. We have nice tea. There's non-alcoholic beverages on the menu. And if you wanted to have a little fun, like, mom-daughter outing, have some snacks.
Oh, that sounds fun. Speaking of your tea, I have to say my favorite tea is at your shop. I just love your roasted chestnut tea.
I love the roasted chestnut tea,
anyway,
too.
But let's get back to the wine bar. So where is the wine bar? So the Silverboat, it has a bakery, it has a back room, where is the restaurant, and sometimes you have events there. So where did this wine bar grow?
The wine bar is in the hotel lobby, and that confuses people because they think that we've converted the back room, which is the dining room, to the restaurant, but we did not. We converted the hotel lobby, which is hard to imagine until you see it.
I've walked by it. I haven't been in yet, but it looks really lovely and intimate and inviting.
Thanks. Well, Northwind Architects did the construction. Evelyn Russo was the principal architect on our project.
Okay. So there's wine and there's food. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And the wine that you have, is this wine that, like, you know, we have limited sources to get our anything in Juneau. Is this something that we would find somewhere else, or is it kind of unique to the wine bar?
We are hoping that most of the wine that we have is unique to the wine bar. We made a rule that we didn't want any wine that was available at Costco. We didn't want any wine that was, like, on one of those end caps at the store, and we wanted it to be things you might not have tried before. And that's the beauty of buying a flight of wine, is you're committing yourself to three different kinds, but only 2 ounces of each of the kinds. So if you don't like it, it's not that big of a deal. And then the goal is, if you find one of those three that you really like, then you order another glass of just that, or now you know for next time what you could come in and order without ordering the flight. And our goal right now is to switch the flight menu 4 times a year.
Interesting. So the flight is that you would have these three different samples of three different wines of your choice.
Right, they're sample portions of wine.
Great, and then you say, ooh, good, I want a glass of that, or we're going to share a bottle, or something.
Yeah, and
they
compare. One of our flights right now is Cabernets from different parts of the world. So it's all the same grape, but one's from Washington State, one's from Australia, and one is from, I think, California. And they taste very different. And then we have another flight, which is Bordeaux blends. So we call them Bordeaux, which is kind of a funny spin on the word Bordeaux. So it's you can only call your wine a Bordeaux if it is from the Bordeaux region in France. But there's lots of different countries that make that same wine blends.
Hence Bordeaux. Right?
Hence Bordeaux. So we have one from, I think there's Chile. There's one from the United States somewhere. And, I have the list right here. Why don't I just read this? And the other one is, there's one from Napa Valley. There's one from Washington State. And there's one from Chile.
Oh, interesting. So are you a wine connoisseur? Has this been a passion of yours for a long time?
Absolutely not. I used to really enjoy, when I was in graduate school, and my husband and I really, really loved Two Buck Chuck. So this is
that's a Trader Joe's wine. That is very inexpensive Trader Joe's wine for the people who don't know that.
You get better at it with practice, and we're trying really hard. And the Silver Bell likes to do things that are kind of quirky, and we don't want to take ourselves very seriously. It's been a challenge when you say you're opening up a wine bar to kind of also be the Silver Bow brand wine bar, which would be kind of how do you make fun of yourselves while doing it? How do you make everybody in there feel comfortable? And have it not be, I guess, it's easy to sort of be, for when you talk about wine, to get pretentious, because you could buy wines that are very, very, very expensive, and you can make people feel out of place. And everyone has an opinion, it seems, about wine. And so I don't know a lot. I've been learning. I've been working with the distributors in town who have been helping me develop this list. I've been listening to our customers who have been offering lots of opinions about what to add, what we're missing, what they like. And we've been tweaking it every week. And so it's definitely a learning process, and I'm really enjoying it. I didn't know much about the bakery business when I started that either. So,
well, that worked out okay. So I think you'll be fine. So with the wine, do you have a favorite, or is there something, or do you like to experiment with wine? I'm kind of boring. Once I like something, I really like it. I'll venture a little bit, but I'm one of those loyal customers that keep on going back for the same thing.
The reason I like flights so much, and when I travel, when we started, Ken and I started going to wine bars, exploring what we were getting ourselves into, I love trying new things all the time, and I can't settle in. I think Ken wishes I would make the same dinner twice. I just am always finding new recipes and trying new things, and I can't stop myself.
That's great. So wine bars are a trend nationally right now, and I think you're the first one in Juneau. I don't know if there's one up in Anchorage or Fairbanks, which, of course, has no bearing on Juneau since you can't get there easily, but it's definitely the first one in Juneau.
I think as one that is titling itself as one, or its main focus, it probably is, but there's a lot of places in Juneau where you could go in and get a nice glass of wine, for sure.
That's great. And then what about the food? So you have a light, what would you call the menu, like a light appetizers, or is there a restaurant word for that, restaurant-ese?
We don't have a good word for our menu. And one of my friends texted me after she came in last week and said, the wine bar, it was great. My husband and I, we came in, we each had a flight, we had a snack, and then we went to dinner. And I said, oh, thanks. That's exactly what we were hoping people would do. We're definitely not trying to serve dinner. Or we have enough things on the menu that you could have dinner if you were really having a good time and you wanted to stay. So we have a daily fresh-made chili of the day and our paninis. The panini press is on, so there's a panini every day. But the rest of the things are cheese plate and homemade cheese crackers, rosemary shortbreads. We have great, like, sweet and savory almond mix. And the one place that we would like to people to remember us for, but that hasn't happened yet, is we also have a really nice little dessert menu. And so we're also hoping that people start going to a movie and then coming in after, or going out to dinner and then coming in for dessert. So we're hoping people would get us on both sides of their evening, start or end their evening at the Silver Bow. We've put a really great range of sparkling wines on the menu, and we're trying to kind of get a broad range of both different types of sparkling wines and different regions in the world that make sparkling wine. So there's Champagne from France, and there's Brut Rosé, Blanc de Blanc, Blanc de Noir, Proseccos, lots of different. So that's the growing part of the menu, and that I think is just, that's really personal interest on my part. I really like to start my night with a glass of bubbly.
No, that's nice. So you were talking about after your activity for the evening, come on in for, you know, a glass of wine, a dessert, or tea or coffee or something along those lines. What are your hours for the wine bar?
That's a really good question. We are trying to figure that out. And I remember with the bagel shop, it took us about 2 years to really figure out what our hours should be. We'd like to be open all the hours people want to be there. You know, right now, we realize that we should start at 5 o'clock on the weekdays, and we're closing about 9 or 10 Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and we're trying to stay open a little bit later on Fridays and Saturdays. In my dream, I would be open all day Saturday and Sunday pouring mimosas the entire day. You know, I don't know that we're ready for that, but that's my goal for next year.
That sounds great. That would be great. So you could do that and then maybe have brunch at the Silver Bowl.
That would be great.
You know, that would be great. Jill and I are from the same part of the world, in case you couldn't deduce that on your own. But that brunch was very big in that part of the world. Well, thank you so much. And just one last thing. So let's just say people don't know where the Silver Bowl is. Where is it?
The Silver Bowl is in the heart of downtown on 2nd and Main.
Okay. It's the big Purple Palace, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the Purple Palace. Like
Right. The Silver Bow with the big
sounds like
purple
Dr.
trucks.
Seussian.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming, and I'm going to try to get there this week.
Great. We're looking forward to seeing you there.
All
thank
right.
You.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. It's Monday, January 27th. You're listening at KTOO News Juno. If you prefer to read or get your news at a different time than when it's on, don't forget to go to ktoo.org and listen at will. I'm Joan Pardis, your Monday host. Jeff Brown's the producer and engineer of the show. And we've got Kim Kiefer, the city manager, here. She comes on regularly to give us an update. Hello, Kim. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. Assembly meeting tonight, correct?
Assembly meeting tonight, 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Assembly chambers.
All right. And what is on the agenda?
Oh, all sorts of stuff. So tonight we are kicking off something new under special order of business. We have an honorary mayor, And so we have worked with the three high schools, and they each get an opportunity to be an honorary mayor. So Donye Herman from Thunder Mountain High School is the honorary mayor today. So she met with the mayor this morning for half day. She was at the legislative reception on Thursday and had her own little name tag. And she'll be sitting up there with us during the whole assembly meeting. So that's a great new thing so that we can try and get young people more aware of what it takes to run the city, and hopefully people will think about that as a career as they get older.
That's great. That's a wonderful civic training.
Very,
Well, thank you to the young woman who did that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and actually it was Kate Troll reaching out with the school district to make it happen. So we've got a bunch of adults that also worked on that. So thanks to all of them.
Excellent.
And then we've got our usual the consent agenda with resolutions establishing, so probably the one that has been in front of the assembly and committees for some time is the resolution establishing the project labor agreement review process. That's something that the assembly by motion said they wanted to move forward with that in 2008 and wanted to try and have the project labor agreements on any big projects. And so they looked at that again this last year, and this just formalizes a little bit more and puts together a committee that will do that review to decide whether or not a project should have a project labor agreement. So that's in front of us. And another cool thing tonight for resolution is the Juneau Volunteer Firefighters found an old fire truck that had been in Juneau. Let me make sure I get
when
it right.
When you say found, what do you mean?
Well, they literally did. They there was somebody that was collecting old fire trucks, and they actually it's a pumper truck from 1927, and it served in Juneau from 1927 to 1953. And then when it was no longer needed, somebody that collects old fire apparatus collected it. And then some volunteers happened to find it online when somebody was getting rid of their collection. And they researched it and found out that it actually was the one that had been in Juneau in 1927. And so the volunteers arranged to have it brought back up to Juneau, and now they're donating it to the city. So we'll be able to see it in
the July 4th parade.
The 4th of July parade. Yeah, so that's a really cool thing.
You should put that honorary mayor on that truck.
There you go. Yeah, I don't think it's going to fit in the assembly chamber, so we're going to have to wait.
No, I meant for the July 4th. All righty. Well, if you want to listen in, that's live tonight, KTOO right here, so you could tune in. Okay, I have some questions for you.
Okay.
It's not hard questions because it's Juneau afternoon, but it's questions. Okay. The parking situation. What is going on?
That is a good question, and it's a question, as you can imagine, I get a lot of right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I am happy to report that what we've been waiting for, which are the coin pay stations that we will have in lots around downtown, they actually are on the barge on their way up here. We hope to get them later this week. And with that, we'll transition into the no more free parking. So what it will look like is we will have three coin-op paid parking lots. So the parking lot up by the Baranoff will be a coin-pay-only parking lot. There'll be some spaces in the Marine Parking Garage that will be pay coin-ops only. And then the lot that we refer to as Shopper's Lot, the corner of Egan and Main Street, the outside lot will also be
the old bus terminal.
The old bus terminal, that outside lot will be a pay by space.
Okay, hang on one second before I even ask you any more questions, because I'm curious to know how much and so on and so forth. Just for people who may not know what we're talking about the downtown parking situation. We had a system that was not working to the full functionality of what it was supposed to do.
Correct.
And for the past several weeks, maybe longer, there's been free parking. It's like landing on free parking in Monopoly. There's been free parking for downtown parkers, which, of course, doesn't do well for the CBJ coffers as far as free parking.
It also doesn't do well for the residents coming downtown that want to shop because they can't find places to park.
Because people who are working there are just parking on the street. So let's move to the new system.
Okay,
so the new system is on its way. It's on the barge. So when you say coin-operated, how much is it?
It'll be 75 cents an hour to park off-street. So what will happen, and this isn't the permanent one. This is our temporary solution right now.
And that's just for those three lots.
It's just for those three lots. So people will still have the 2 hours free on street. And we're talking, when we talk about the parking area, we're talking about the downtown parking zone. So that's important too. So if you're parking on Whittier Street, it doesn't count. We're talking about the area that basically is from the downtown library up to 4th Street, over to Main, and then down to Marine Park.
Right.
So that area is the area we're talking about. So you can park on the street for 2 hours in that area, and then you either need to go to one of those three coin paid parking lots, or you can get a weekly or a monthly parking pass from Parks and Recreation for the Downtown Transportation Center or the Marine Parking Garage. The other thing that will happen when we get everything in place is we will be opening up the Marine Park Plaza. So the area where the buses are in the summertime, we will be opening that up for parking as long as people have what we call a hang tag. So that's
weekly
or
monthly.
Back to the weekly or monthly pays and
okay.
For Marine Parking Garage only.
Okay. And that's not in effect as of today. That's going to be in effect in the near future.
And hopefully by about the first week, in a week.
Okay.
We're hoping to kick it off in February. We'll give people time to get used to the new system. We'll do warnings. And then probably by mid-February, we will start actually ticketing.
Okay. And if people are confused about this, because it sounds confusing.
We will have all sorts of information online at juno.org.
Okay.
And pull it up from parking. We're going to be doing different ads around so that people know what to do, and there will be lots of signage in the different lots.
So there will be an informational campaign.
There definitely we need to.
Okay. Well, we're running out of time, and I've got a lot more questions here. So we're going to move on from parking, which is still free, to something else. So this weekend there is some fire department training that one of KTO reporters will be involved in, and I understand that you, too, will be playing a firefighter this weekend.
I will be.
This is the first time?
It is the first time. I've gone around twice. I've done ride-alongs on the fire trucks. But this will be the first time that I'll be in full gear and actually having some scenarios that I will be walking through with the fire department. And it'll be an excellent education opportunity for me to understand really firsthand what it takes to do the work that they do.
Yeah, welcome to Welk, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So where is this training?
It will be at the Hagabit Fire Training Center.
Okay.
So out by Sherwood Lane.
All right.
And so I think they've got us, the schedule I think was from 8 until 2 or 3. So they're saying, you know, you need to stay hydrated, you need to do all these things. So I'm looking forward to it. It definitely will be an excellent education opportunity for me.
I bet. And just, I can't imagine anybody doesn't appreciate firefighters, but I once thought I was wanted to be a volunteer. A friend of mine was a volunteer here
mm-hmm.
in Juneau,
mm-hmm.
and I found out what everyone has to wear, and
yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, I don't really think I can carry that weight. You know,
yeah.
I just don't really think I can. So I want to do a shout-out to all firefighters, volunteer paid, everybody. Thank you for what you do.
Mm-hmm.
We are grateful.
Definitely.
Okay, I have one more question for you. So when do you expect the assembly decision on the Atland Drive rezoning, and can you tell me what the Atland Drive rezoning is?
So the first question of when the assembly has given direction and that the decision is being drafted right now in the attorney's office, there was a planning commission decision for Atland Drive, and the owner wanted to appeal that to the assembly, the planning commission's decision to the assembly, so this assembly listened to their request and why they think it should be overturned, and they also listen to staff, and then they will come back with their recommendation on how to move forward. Will they support the Planning Commission's decision, or will they say no?
Okay, and what is the Atland Drive rezoning?
There's property over, it's by St. Paul's Church, across the street from St. Paul's Church and across the street from Super Bear.
In the valley.
In the
mm-hmm.
valley. And so they're looking at rezoning that, and how it's zoned really makes a difference on what you can build there and what kind of density you can have. And so what the property owner wants is more density, more opportunity to do a variety of things there. And the Planning Commission said no, we should stay with the zoning that's there and the intent of the comprehensive plan.
And it's gone through twice. Is that true?
Correct.
Is that unusual?
I think it is. I don't remember another one that has come through twice. It's a little bit different because the questioning on why and the reasons it's rezoned or not rezoned are a little bit different. And part of it is we also have a new comprehensive plan, and we have some changes that happened since the last time it was looked at for rezoning.
Okay. All right. So that's the Atlin Drive rezoning update. Mm-hmm. Tonight, assembly meeting, 7 p.m. You could listen on KTOO, or you could drop by and watch it yourself.
You can watch it. And marine passenger fee, the requests have been turned in. I put together my recommendations on what should be funded with marine passenger funds. That's out for public comment until February 15th.
And how does one comment on that?
Juno.org. You can pull up the recommendation and then send it back. It tells you where to send it back. Also, it feels like spring out there. Start thinking about it. Parks and Rec is working with Friends of the Flowers and is always looking for donations. So a number of people donate to make our flowers and our downtown more beautiful. And so they're starting that campaign right now, and it sure feels like spring out there. And I know we're probably going to get surprised here pretty soon with winter coming back.
Right, right. Well, it is getting a little colder in the next couple of days. It's been freezing at night, which it mm-hmm. hasn't in a really long time. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
And we think about our friends in Valdez.
Yeah.
They're having a tough time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All righty, Kim, as always, thank you for coming. Thanks for what
thank
you,
you
do. And
thank you.
We're going to take a short break. We're going to be back with the California Guitar Trio, so stay tuned.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday, the 27th of January, 2014. It's Mozart's birthday. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, born Salzburg in 1756, who composed more than 600 works in his lifetime, died suddenly at the age of 35. His death certificate read only fever and rash. There was no evidence of foul play. There were many rumors about his death because he had been very productive and was in good health in the months leading up to it. But 2 days after his last public performance, he came down quite suddenly with a high fever, headache, pain, and vomiting. And 2 weeks later, he suffered a seizure, fell into a coma, and died. He himself started the rumor that he was poisoned. After he took sick, he told his wife, "My end will not be long in coming. For sure, someone has poisoned me." There were rumors about his rival Salieri, the composer, but he really had no reason to poison Mozart. They were rivals, but they were also friends, and Salieri had a far superior position and income to Mozart's at the time. A few years ago, there was a paper published in the Annals of Internal Medicine speculating that he was brought down by a common streptococcal infection, strep throat, which caused his kidneys to fail. For whatever reason, he died on December the 5th, 1791, at the age of 35, and was buried in a communal plot, which was common practice in Vienna at that time. Members of the aristocracy received individual burials, as we think of them today, but other people were sewn naked into a linen sack and put into a pit with four or five other bodies, quicklime sprinkled over the corpses to speed up their decomposition. And after about 7 years, the remains were exhumed and dispersed so that the grave could be used again. It was on this day, 1302, the Italian poet Dante Alighieri was exiled from Florence for his political sympathies. He was a leading supporter of the White Guelph Party, which was opposed to extreme papal power, and when the Black Guelph Party seized power in Florence, they immediately expelled Dante from the city. He spent the next 2 decades wandering from place to place in northern Italy, estranged from his wife and children. His only consolation was his writing. He wrote his great work, The Divine Comedy, about a journey through hell, purgatory, and paradise. And it's the birthday of Charles Lutwidge Dodgson, Lewis Carroll, born in Cheshire, England, 1832. When he was 30 years old, he took a little boat trip on a pond with three young girls and told them the story that became Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. Here's a poem for today by Leonard Nathan, Out on the Flats. Out on the flats, a heron, still as a hieroglyph, carved on the soft gray face of morning. You asked, when I seemed far away, what it meant, but were gone when I turned to you with an answer. Nothing mysterious. Hunger, a taste for salt, tides, distance, and a gift of flight. A poem by Leonard Nathan, Out on the Flats, from his collection Restarting the World, published by Orchises Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by Lumosity.com, a brain training program designed by neuroscientists that has been used by 50 million people worldwide. More at Lumosity.com. Produced by Joy Biles, with assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Hello, you're back. It's Juno Afternoon. It's 3:36 p.m. I'm Joan Pardis, your Monday host. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. And listen up, everyone. We've got the California Guitar Trio here in the studio. They've been together for 14 albums, 1,500 gigs, 22-year career, three countries, and a multi-genre repertoire. So listen, and then we're going to talk. They're going to play for us. Here we go. That was great. Thank you so much. So this is the California Guitar Trio. They're playing tonight at Thunder Mountain. There are a few tickets left. Go on jahc.org right now, or you're going to be in the lobby. So who we have here, we have Bert Lambs, we have Paul Richards, and we have Hideo Maria. And they are from Belgium, Utah, and Japan, respectively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they've flew in today, which is no small feat.
Yeah.
They came up from Seattle. They're playing here tonight, Anchorage and Fairbanks and Kodiak, and then off they go. They've been touring together for 22 years. Well, welcome to Juno.
Thank you.
That was terrific.
Thank you.
So we were talking a little bit before we went on the air, and now you all live in the States, and you live in different parts of the world, and you go on tour, and then you come back, and then you go on tour, and you come back. Is that kind of how it is?
Yeah. We were originally based in Los Angeles, and I live there now. So in the beginning, we were flying and touring out from Los Angeles, but we've all come from different places, and we've ended up in different places now. So it just works out that we get together for a few weeks and then go back home for a few weeks, and it's been like that since the beginning. It works well.
It sounds great. So what I have in front of me is that everything from tango, surf rock, gunfighter ballads, and even Bohemian Rhapsody, it's like a wide gamut.
Yes.
Can you tell me about how you guys work and what, like, do you just, one of you say, hey, I'm interested in this, and then you go do...
We're really just playing the music that we really love. From the very beginning when we first started playing together, we decided it didn't matter the style of music or the genre or where the music came from. If it's something that was exciting and interesting to us, we knew that that excitement would make the audience also excited. And it's been interesting because it's hard to explain what it is that we do, because when people say, what kind of music do you play, I can't just say, you know, we play, you know, rock music or jazz music, because it's both of those things, but it's way more. There's world music influence, there's classical music influence, and many, many other things.
It sounds great. It sounds like you're trendsetters, because 22 years ago, you would think about the music industry, you were really much more in a box than you are now, you know, with the internet, that you could say, oh, I'm going to check this out for 5 seconds and see if I like it. And, you know, because that's really what they say. People have like 6 second attention span or something.
Right.
But 22 years ago, you guys were probably out there on your own of just saying, you know, we're not this and we're not that. We're just us. How was that?
Well, it was a little bit challenging for the record stores to know where to put our CDs, because when you listen to our CDs, it crosses so many different genres that we usually ended up in the main rock section, because I don't think they knew what else to do with it. We used to get stuck in the new age section, but it's not really new age music.
People would say, no, wait a second. No,
because
no.
There's no singing, but I think we got stuck in the new age section.
And let's talk about your latest CD. What, you know, because 14.
Yep.
So there might be all over the board, but let's talk about the last one and the songs on that, and what's it like?
The last one is our first all classical music album. We've always played a bit of classical music and included it in our shows, but this album we released called Masterworks is our first album of only classical music from Bach and Beethoven and Rossini and many others. So Bert is the real classical musician of the group, and he's the one who initiated the classical music within the group, and we rely heavily on him for his classical ear. But we play it, we have a very different approach in the way that we play classical music. Firstly, the guitars we use are not traditional classical guitars. They're steel string acoustic guitars. So when we play classical music, it almost sounds a bit more like a harpsichord or something like that. I don't. Maybe Bert has something to add to that.
Yeah, and we use steel string guitars with a pick, so they tend to have a more percussive sound too, and totally change the sound of anything we play that's classical.
They're beautiful. Jeff Brown, the producer and engineer, he noticed that they're all the same brand when they came in.
Yeah.
So what brand are they?
These guitars are Breedlove guitars, and they're made in Bend, Oregon, where we were just a few days ago, actually, and visited our friends at the factory. And we've had a good relationship with them for about 10 years now. We've played all sorts of different guitars, and Martins and Taylors and all the most famous acoustic guitars, but we like these Breedloves, and we've enjoyed playing them.
And they're all slightly different.
Yes.
So they're the same brand, but they're all slightly
different shapes and different woods. Mm-hmm. Hideo's has made out of the one you're playing now is also walnut.
Mm-hmm.
Walnut. Different shape though, more of a modern shape to it. And ours is a auditorium model, but and each guitar is going to be slightly different anyway because the tree that the wood came from will have a different tone to the wood. So that's the cool thing about guitarists, is that everyone's a little bit different.
Just like people.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Speaking about everybody's just a little bit different, I want to ask each one of you just a quick, we don't have a tremendous amount of time, unfortunately, but I want to just ask you a quick question. So you guys go on the road for 3 weeks at a time, and then you're probably arranging and creating and writing and practicing and doing your own pursuits and collective pursuits when you're not. What is it about the road? There's got to be something that makes three men from three different parts of the world go on the road. What is it about touring that you love?
In a way, we met kind of on the road, because we all three of us studied with the same instructor, Robert Fripp, a guitarist from England. And one of the first courses I went to was a course in performance, and he took us on the road for 6 weeks. That was my first introduction, and that's also how I met Paul and Hideo. And I remember at the end of the 6 weeks, I did not want it to end. And here I am. It's still
many,
going.
many years, a couple of decades later.
I think people have this fantasy that life as a touring musician is this glamorous thing, but you know, like yesterday, we were all day in the Seattle airport waiting for the flight to come here, but because it was fogged in, we weren't able to come, and our friends in the Montreal Guitar Trio weren't able to make it because there was only three seats left on the flight that we were rebooked on, and so things like that happened.
How did you guys get this right? Like, did you dress with the Montreal Trio?
It was a coin toss.
Yes. So are they going to meet you up in Anchorage, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But the thing that really keeps us going is the music, and the opportunity to play music for people that gives us such great energy, and also hopefully the audience gets some energy out of it as well. That's the thing that makes it all worthwhile. When we have those shows where you can just feel the joy from the music, that's why we're here. That's why we're doing this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you want to answer that question?
Oh, yeah, I think the Paul said everything for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have to say that we're really excited you're here. People are really excited, and I think you really love the Alaskan audiences, because we're really appreciative about getting world-class musicians here, and we have a lot of musicians in the state, which is just one of those amazing things about Alaska, that we just have a lot of musicians, we have a lot of artists, and we're just really so appreciative. So can we get one more before you guys have to go?
Sure, yeah.
That would be so great.
This is an original piece that we wrote when we were all living together in Los Angeles, and it's named after a street near where we lived in L.A. This is called Melrose Avenue.
Okay, I know Melrose Avenue. I just want, before you guys play, once again, you're listening to the California Guitar Trio. They're playing tonight at Thunder Mountain, 7:30 p.m. There's a few tickets left. If you want them, jahc.org is where you should buy them, or you could try it at the door. And here we go, California Guitar Trio. Thank you. thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
We're so glad that you got into Juno. And tonight, California Guitar Trio, Thunder Mountain. Thanks again.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon. That was the California Guitar Trio. Wow, they were fantastic. Fresh off the plane. It's 3:51 p.m. You're listening to KTOO News Juno. I'm Joan Pardis, your Monday host. Jeff Brown's the producer and engineer. And our next guests are Gretchen Durking of Big Brothers Big Sisters and Dirk Miller, who's a teacher and a big brother with Big Brothers Big Sisters. Hi, guys.
Hi.
It's National Mentoring Month. Gretchen, can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so January, like you said, National Mentoring Month, and basically we're just trying to highlight and say thanks to all our mentors and encourage Junoites to do the same. And so with that, we're inviting some of our bigs, whether that be in the school program or in the community program, to come on air and tell about their experiences.
Okay.
Yeah, and we had a couple weeks ago, we had a pancake breakfast where all the littles thank their bigs by making them pancakes. So fun little activities like that.
That'd be great. What's the difference between the school and the community program?
So the school program is an opportunity for people who may not be able to or may find that their schedules are really busy, and so they want a scheduled time each week to meet with their little on school grounds or at Big Brother Big Sister activities. So like Dirk, he'll go and meet with his little. We ask for once a week, an hour a week, and usually that starts out at lunch, and so it works really well for people that have full-time jobs and can take one lunch off a week just to share with a little.
Food is a great way to connect, too.
It is. How long have you been with your little guy?
So my guy, it's hard to say who's with who, right? We spent 7 years. We started in kindergarten, and now my little brother Keegan is in sixth grade at DZ. And it's been a good experience for me, probably better for me than for Keegan in many ways.
That is a long time. That is a long time. So you meet once a week. What tell us how you know it works for you.
So I can meet Keegan on my lunch hour and sometimes during when I have time for prepping. And so now I have to drive over to DZ to do it. So it's probably every other 2 weeks. And I'll go in, and because I know lots of the kids, it's kind of a fun way to connect with lots of kids. And then I have my little guy. We've had this relationship for 7 years. I go, I'll sit in a class with him. We'll go to lunch. Usually I'll try to bring something because it's always nice to get something special to eat at lunchtime. And we're the school-based program, so we don't do a lot of things outside of school.
And so do you just eat in the lunchroom with him?
Well, we'll eat in the lunchroom with him. We're surrounded by lots of kids and all that exciting noise and all the fun.
That sounds great. So 7 years, that is such a long time. You have, obviously, your relationship has changed vastly over 7 years.
I'm the fun guy. So when he was at Gastineau or at Harborview, I could come in and, I do things with the whole class. We played badminton one time, and we would do games that involved the whole class and me and Keegan. We'd be the experts. And as we've gotten to middle school, it's not quite like that. But it's, I'm a friend, I think, a pal, which is really kind of cool to still have that connection.
That's great. And so, as Gretchen was saying, once or twice every other week or once a week, just some kind of regularity. And What has, you said that you definitely, as far as the relationship, you feel that you're the one who got more out of it, that it's just been a really rewarding experience. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, I go into a middle school classroom, and so these are nearly teenagers. What do they call them?
Tweeners.
And you don't always connect with kids that age, you know, but that's when they need you the most. And there's Keegan, and he's usually smiling when I enter the door. And it doesn't really matter what we're going to do. It's just nice to spend time with each other. And I coached him once on, I think, on a soccer, or it must have been a soccer team. And so we all see each other outside of the school community, too, not on anything, you know, Big Brother sponsor. We just run into each other, or we're, you know, it's a small town. You're going to rub shoulders with people.
It's Juneau.
Yeah.
It's Juneau. And do you feel supported by Big Brothers, Big Sisters? Do you feel like, you know, they check in on you and that
that's
they
what makes
offer...
it easy, right? So I do get a call from Gretchen maybe once or twice a month. How's it going? Do you need anything? They put on events. So if you and your little can make it to a pancake feed or whatever the event is, there, you know, there are ways to connect through Big Brothers, Big Sisters. They're the link between me and the family, and they also come and they talk to the littles too. So it's not just adult focus; it's relationship focus.
Yeah, it sounds like a real win-win for everybody. It just sounds really great. So do you have? We don't have time. So I was going to ask for one story you want to share that was like a highlight from 7 years, but it would have to be a very quick one, Dirk.
Oh, man. Oh, you know what it was? It's speed cups, you know, speed stacking. And this is when he was in elementary school. I would bring those in, and I think for a lot of the teachers, I'm just a PE teacher, but I bring in speed cups, and it's math. We're building things. We're breaking into fractions, and the whole class is so excited, and they're working on it, and when we're done and they're putting the cups away, I say, that was a really fun math lesson, wasn't it? And I get the look. Like, what?
Math, you tricked us? Well, you said, I'm just a PE teacher. Dirk, you do so much for this community. You work at two different schools. You're a big brother. I want to thank you for all that you do, what you do for this young boy and what this young boy does in your life as well. And also, Gretchen, I want to thank you for helping us all make Juneau a better place. So thanks. If you have any interest to become a Big Brother or find out a Big Brother, Big Sister program, where would they?
You can call us at 586-3350, and you can also find us on the website, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Alaska, and then there'll be a Juneau section on there. So.
That sounds great. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming in. We'll be right back to wrap up the show.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, this is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO News Juneau. It is 3:58 p.m. Tonight, cloudy. I'm talking about weather. Chance of rain late, lows 30 to 36, light winds. Tomorrow, rain likely, highs around 38, light winds. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy. Chance of rain, lows around 33, west winds 5 miles per hour. Wednesday, mostly cloudy. Chance of rain, highs around 38, northwest winds 5 miles per hour. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy. Patchy fog, lows 28 to 34, northeast wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, 7 p.m., assembly meeting. Listen on KTOO. And then tomorrow, Scott Burton, hosts Juneau Afternoon. He's going to talk about the Thursday premiere of the Juneau Symphony's video of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. He'll also be talking about the Planetarium show. Kathy Hocker will be here with a preview of her one-night stand presentation tomorrow night, and Brian Holst will offer insight on this week's Innovation Summit. That's happening this weekend. So thank you for listening. Have a great afternoon. All things considered, next.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We rebroadcast on translators K276 AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K201 AM in Gustavus, K220 BT in